This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patty Taylor. We have an awesome show for you today. We're going to talk about Skydancing Tantra and how it can bring passion, power, and orgasmic energy into your life.
Yeah, the word skydancing actually signifies being buoyant, being light, being ecstatic. Pretty much the feeling you have after having had a good orgasm. In Skydancing Tantra, we have found a method which is probably the most complete, comprehensive, and advanced method existing today in the Western world. And it's a method that teaches people how to transmute their orgasmic energy.
Find out how Margot Anand, founder of Skydancing Tantra, is finding whole new levels of bliss by rediscovering a more simplified life. You'll hear some of Margot's own juiciest favorite frames from her new DVD series, including the one where during a ritual, he pours chocolate sauce all over his lover's breast and then licks it off. All tastefully done, I might add. Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor, and I teach people how to make love. Today on the show, we're talking to the founder of one of the most famous schools of Tantra in the world today as she gains new freedom for herself. Our guest is Margot Anand, the much-beloved founder and teacher of the internationally famous Skydancing Tantra. Welcome, Margot. Margot is known as an internationally acclaimed authority on Tantra. She's the best-selling author of the book, The Art of Sexual Ecstasy, and creator of numerous other books, CDs, and DVDs on Tantra. She's also a teacher and educator, not just at the Skydancing Institute, but also at Deepak Chopra's Institute, Tony Robbins Institute, and various other conferences worldwide. Margot, I'm pleased to have you here with us today. I think our listeners want to know more about the power of Tantra and how to make their own lives more fulfilling, rich, juicy, and rewarding. Also, you're a trendsetter. You've been in the public eye for many years, and I gather you're taking off in some exciting new directions. I think our listeners really care about what Skydancing Tantra has to teach us and will want to know more about why we would want to move on in life, especially when we're surrounded by the trappings of success. So today I want to talk to you about this. So, number one, what is Skydancing Tantra? Number two, what might people's projections be around Tantra and their false ideas? And three, what it's like to be an awakened Tantra queen who wants to move beyond that. Margot, let's start with a few questions about what is Skydancing Tantra. So, could you tell us a little bit about this Tantra that you founded and named Skydancing Tantra?
Yeah, the word skydancing actually signifies being buoyant, being light, being ecstatic, pretty much the feeling you have after having had a good orgasm. And this belongs to the lineage of Buddha Padmasambhava and Yeshe Tsogwel, who were the founders of Buddhist Tantra in the 8th century in India, in Tibet, and in Bhutan. Padmasambhava is a great master in the lineage of the Buddhas, and Yeshe Tsogwel was the first sky dancer. And she was called a sky dancer because she could fly in the sky, she could bilocate, and she could also take people by the hand and bring them to their bliss, which I can also do. So that's the word skydancing right there. And Skydancing Tantra came to me magically in the various transmissions, and it started the first orgasm that I had the first time I made love, where I was propulsed in a realm that is beyond the body of pure light and freedom. And I met my original face, the place that I knew I would be after I left this body, and the place that I knew I had been before I incarnated in my physical body. So in this place, free of cultural constraints and parental education, I met the light that we all are, full on. And so that was my first initiation into wanting to, into recognizing that sexuality was going to be my path to awakening, to spiritual awakening as a woman. And I wanted to, I sought and looked, could I find God in the bedroom? Did God have orgasms? Was there a goddess next to God? And all these questions occupied me, and I went around the world for many, many years teaching and learning and discovering with many different masters, and particularly in Asia and India and in the south of France and in America. And I created a method that I called Sky Dancing Tantra, which is a path that is basically dedicated to transforming lust into bliss. In other words, if you are making love the normal way, you enter with what I call an explosive orgasm of release. In other words, you ejaculate. At least men do. And, you know, women do too. Some do. The point is, when this happens repetitively, it is said, and I believe it is true, that you don't really transcend, you don't transform, you don't reach the potential, the awakened potential that making love, the energy of lovemaking, carries within itself. So it's a pleasure that is quickly spent. It's, I always say that lovemaking is like peanuts. The more you do it, the more you want it, you know? So it becomes almost addictive if it remains at this first level of the explosive orgasm of release. But in Sky Dancing Tantra, we have found a method which is probably the most complete, comprehensive, and advanced method existing today in the Western world. And it's a method that teaches people how to transmute their orgasmic energy, so that when they make love, they first have to look at sexual healing. Are there any wounds that they need to heal, especially us baby boomers? We need to look back. What are the things that have aged us? What are the things that have contracted us, brought us difficulty and pain? And those things, when they're traumas, leave their mark in the body. So we learn in Sky Dancing Tantra how to fully release these traumas. Then, in the second cycle of our year-long training, called the Love and Ecstasy Training, we learn how to approach a full-body orgasm and how to channel the sexual energy through what I call your secret love channel, and which the Taoist masters call your middle channel, also called such in acupuncture, your middle meridian. And so when people learn how to open these energy centers, these channels, and allow the sexual energy to circulate through these channels, they have radically transformed experiences of orgasm. So in the first few chakras, it's like the animal, the, you know, basic instinct. I want you, you're mine. I want to make love to you. You belong to me. Without you, I'm nothing. Promise me this and that. And of course, it's full of traps, dependency, jealousy, etc., etc. When you move this orgasmic energy into the heart, you feel surrender, you feel opening, you feel as if you were falling off a plane with a parachute. You feel a let go, you feel emerging with your partner, you feel passion with, compassion. When you transmute this orgasmic energy through your throat, you let go, you express, you make sound, you make noise, you give a color and an energy to your experience. You communicate, you know, your truth, what you need and what you feel. And then when you transmute this orgasmic energy through your third eye, you enter into spaciousness, and the energy moves beyond the boundaries of the body into what meditators feel and experience as spaciousness, you know, being one with all. And when you come to the crown, you enter into the realm of ecstasy, which is to stand beside your ordinary self, into God consciousness, into the consciousness of the macrocosm, into the connection with all that is within you and all around you. There is no more separation. And so what Sky Dancing Tantra teaches is all the modern methods in all the approaches that are known in psychology today and in bodywork today, teaches everything a person needs to know to transmute lust into bliss so that they can experience a modicum of awakening, of spiritual awakening during their lovemaking. And that's what I show in my film, The Secret Keys to the Ultimate Love Life. And that's what I explain in my books, the main one being The Art of Sexual Ecstasy. And it's a wonderful method because it transforms your life. So far I've worked with 40,000 people around the world and I've started 6 institutes and I just signed a contract with Steve and Lokita Carters, who are going to start the Sky Dancing Tantra Institute in California.
Well, that's very exciting. And what I'm wondering now is, this Sky Dancing Tantra is something that really everyone can learn. Are some people going to be better at learning it? I'm wondering if some listeners are thinking, whoa, just that sounds all well and good, but my husband or my wife, I don't know. I mean, are some people more naturally gifted at this, or really can everyone go and get some benefit from
it? Everybody can go. My youngest participant, believe it or not, was 15 with parental consent, and my oldest were 84. Okay. And I've worked around the globe. I've even had success with a Balinese prince who didn't speak a word of English and I didn't speak a word of Balinese. And we had a sensational session and he got healed of his problems and his blocks. Okay. So this is a method that is so powerful that has been so well studied. Imagine I have all these institutes teaching this method, which is the love and ecstasy training over 3 weeks over a year. First week and then 4 months during which you practice. Second week and then 4 months during which you practice. Third week and then you practice again. I have people that come from all walks of life and they are young, they are old. I have these institutes teaching this work for the last 15 years and I'm not even present to it anymore. That means the method works.
That's encouraging. I'm sure our listeners are very encouraged to hear that. What would you say would be one of the more challenging things? I've read The Art of Sexual Ecstasy, for example. Would opening the inner flute and finding that internal vibration, for example, be something that would take your average reader or student a while to learn? Is that one of the more challenging things?
Well, I tell you, every method you learn of self-development, every sport you learn, every goal you set for yourself, it's always a challenge. If you start as a non-orgasmic woman and you decide, I want to be an orgasmic woman, you're not just going to be an orgasmic woman just like that when you decide it. Some people do. Some people are lucky. They fall into it because they are ready, because they're relaxed, because they have a good lover, whatever the reason. But in most cases, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to look into it, inform yourself, and practice, practice, practice. And you're going to have to confront the myth and the false beliefs that you have acquired in the process of growing up in this country, you know, that doesn't teach us very healthy things about sexuality. You know, and one of the things is the false belief that you're not going to get anywhere unless you're in a couple. Not true. You can actually have great success if you practice this method on your own. Because once you take responsibility for your sexuality on your own, once you understand how you function sexually, once you learn all the different degrees of self-pleasuring, you know, then you're ready to understand that you are the source of your own orgasm, not what your partner does to you and how they do it, you know. And then the more you come to the lovemaking situation, having fully mastered your inner circuitry, your inner channels, and your inner love for yourself, and your inner understanding of yourself, and your inner comfortability within yourself, the more pleasure is there to be gained and the less problems. So I would say that the first challenge is for people to understand that they're coming to a training where there might be singles and there might be couples. And the second challenge is to understand that the multi-orgasmic response, which I demonstrate and show in my film in a very beautiful way, The Secret Keys to the Ultimate Love Life, in DVD 3, and this multi-orgasmic response is a fantastic method, but it's a method that people are not so used to face, which is teaching people how to give each other maximum pleasure, not with penetration, but manually. So that the people can choose in this training to go do this in the privacy of their own bedroom, and they just listen to the explanations and they watch the charts and they watch the parts of the film that we show, and then they go to the privacy of their bedroom. Or they can decide to do it in the group room, in which case they each create their little private secret corner and they surround it with a mattress or with a blanket or something. And they have the advantage of having, you know, the trainers, you know, the coaches that are right there if they encounter a problem. But it's a fantastic method, you know, but once you, you know, have an orgasm as a woman, you're a different person. You're empowered to be creative in the world because an orgasm is what is going to take you to the very root of your creativity. But an orgasm is not just a sexual adventure. An orgasm is an energy event which can be elicited independently of the sexual context. This is what needs to be understood.
Well, as you said, Margot, and thank you for that, and we will be getting more into your DVD for our listeners and definitely be giving them the website address, margoanand.com. So we will be getting back to that. But not all orgasms are alike because, as you said earlier, was an orgasm originally gave you the awakening that started all of this. And I would say a lot of our listeners and people around the world would say you've changed the face of the world and brought more feminine energy in. Could you tell us maybe a little bit about how orgasms are different?
Well, if you experience an orgasm in your first chakra or in your sexual center, you're going to be awakening your primal animalistic kind of instinct. And all of your consciousness is going to be focused on your clitoris. And you're going to discover that there's four orgasmic points. There's the tip of the clitoris and the G-spot in women. And there's many more, but let's say these two. And in men, the tip of the glans and the prostate, you know, to name those four. So when you're just totally focused in this part of your body, which is what the majority of people do, you can have a great orgasm, which is usually more, how do you say, focused on the pelvic area. Then when you move to your heart, as I explained a minute ago, you know, you open another part of your being, which is the heart. And so you fall in love with yourself, you care for your partner, you recognize each other as one, you feel that you're one, and it's a heartful orgasm, it's a heartgasm. You know, and then when you're in the throat, the orgasmic experience has a lot to do with expressive sound, voice, but it's also being truthful, you know, and so on and so forth that I explained earlier. You feel empowered at all levels of your being so that you, what is Tantra? Tantra is the marriage between energy and consciousness. So when you feel the excitement, the electrical energy of excitement, the streaming energy in your body, and you attach your consciousness, your awareness to that. Say, I am aware of this little streaming process happening in my genitals. That's called excitement, okay? Now you bring in what we also teach in the Love and Ecstasy training, which is the three keys to orgasmic power. And that is movement, deep breathing, and deep voice sound making. The movement circulates the energy through the whole body. The breathing stokes the energy, amplifies the energy, amplifies the excitement. There's a big difference between lying quietly and breathing through your nose and then making lots of movements, making sounds, which is what we do when we have a good orgasm, right? So we breathe deeply, we move, we make sound. That is at the root of the orgasmic experience, being willing consciously when you start to feel pleasure to bring in these three keys to orgasmic power. That expands your orgasm.
Wow. Well, I can see why a lot of people are taking the Skydancing Tantra training. Would you say that people could get enlightened also then, just as you did when they get into these states? Is that a routine,
well,
regular
part? Well, one doesn't claim that any path will get you to enlightenment. I don't believe in that approach. You know, I'm not going to be the one that says to the Americans, come to my training and you'll get enlightened. There's enough gurus in the world that are doing that. You know, and it's not a very honest proposition because I don't even believe in recipes, even though I found a method that works. And I don't believe in recipes because everybody, every individual is unique. You know, like for instance, I've had 10,000 orgasms in my life. I had the most incredible tantric practice. I just came back from Bali where I did advanced practice with a tantric magician like you wouldn't believe and had all sorts of extraordinary transmissions. And at the same time right now, I am totally on the other side of this. You know, I'm like allowing myself to be a healthy 63. I am not exercising. I am watching movies in bed. I'm doing things I've never done before. You know, I'm being lazy because I work all day in clearing my life and clearing my boxes and doing all the stuff to kind of get to the next level, you know, so to kind of go into my sabbatical time. And so right now I'm like, I'm not putting makeup on. I'm not making efforts. I'm not doing diets. I'm not doing any of that stuff, you know, and it feels so good, you know. And I remember my time in Arica, which was a mystery school with Oscar Ichazo in New York, where I went for 4 years. And we all in Arica had what we called a pig day. Right. And a pig day was a day where we were allowed to leave a mess in the kitchen sink, to not range our clothes, to let everything lie around, to not even get dressed in the morning, but pots around the room with a bathrobe and, you know, welcome our friends in our bathrobes. And, you know, like, and I'm doing that to some degree, you know, and I love it. I know it's going to be short lived. You know, I know I'm going to Paris in a couple of weeks and I'm having this conference and I'm, you know, meeting a lover in Bali again and all that. But I'm just like letting it all hang out and it feels great.
Well, I wish everyone could see your face right now. You look completely enlightened to me. You cannot convince me that you are not enlightened by everything that just happened. So, but if you say so, we got the point. There are no guarantees. However, anyone who could look at you right now would run and not walk and take Skydancing Tantra. So,
well, if they do, if they feel interested to take Skydancing Tantra,
or at least read your book,
they should go to www.ecstaticliving.com.
All right. Okay, and I'm going to read the address because it has the ring of authenticity when I read it. So Skydancing Tantra and all this information can be found at your website, margoanand.com, where this and the DVDs and the books and the CDs and all of Margo's fabulous information can be discovered. So
yeah, but it's also that I'm now passing my work on to other people. And the people that are teaching the training now are Steve and Lokita Carter, and they can be found at www.ecstaticliving.com.
Right. So we will come back to that. We're going to take a break here and go to our kind sponsors, and then we will return and find out more about Skydancing Tantra and even more about a bird's eye view of Tantra from your very unique perspective. We will be back in a moment.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We are back, and I'm Dr. Patty with the Expanded Lovemaking Show, and we are talking to Margo Anand about a life of personal tantric freedom.
Yes!
Which right. Sounds pretty good to me. Before the break, we were talking about what is Skydancing Tantra. Margo, I want to ask you now about people's projections around Tantra and false ideas they might have about Tantra.
Well, people in America think that Tantra has to do with sex. And they don't know that Tantra is a very ancient path, a very holy, sacred, and secret path. And that the sutras, which are the sacred transmissions and the oral teachings of the masters in the tradition of Tantra that started, you know, many, many centuries ago, the sutras teach us only about, you know, 10% of the content is about sexuality, 10 or 20%. The rest is about spiritual awakening. And so Tantra is a path to awakening, just like yoga or Zen. The only difference is that it actually includes sexuality as a door to awakening, as one of the skillful means that help us wake up. And so the projections that people have in this country is that it is basically an orgiastic occupation, that it is, you know, dirty, that it is indulgent, that you don't talk about it, that sex is shocking. You know, it's very boring because it seems like, you know, I've been in this country forever and ever and it doesn't seem to be moving much. So there's this kind of undercurrent of people. There's this wild clubs of, you know, singles and swapping and couples meeting and sex happening. But in the overall media, you know, it's not treated in a very open way. You know, and it's actually, we're still living in a place which is very compartmentalized. And, you know, I just wrote on a blog recently Deepak Chopra's blog, they asked me to contribute, and I wrote a piece on comparing sex and politics in France and in America. You know, and so in America, they spent $60 million to try to figure out whether the spot on Monica Lewinsky's dress was actually the sperm of Mr. Clinton or not. And I say they could have spent these $60 million, you know, bringing more education to kids, you know. And in France, you know, Mitterrand had his mistress in the government and was still living with his wife, and everybody was living in peace, because in France, they want the politician to be a good leader and they don't want to bother about his private life. That's his affairs, you know. So anyway, it's a different country here. But I think that the projection of people is that there is a certain image, you know, you should fall in love with someone, you should stay with them for the rest of your life, you should raise your family, and that's it. There's no other option if you want to be a well looked upon, you know, respected citizen in this country. So I say not so, you know, and I say get off the idea that Tantra has to do with orgies and Tantra has to do with just sex, because, you know, the most extraordinary things are happening in the realm of Tantra that has very little to do with sex and all to do with meditation. And I can tell you one thing about it, which is that if we meditate and we become practitioners of advanced Tantra, and all the things I mentioned are moved not only in the realm of sex, but beyond the realm of sex, and we become proficient meditators on the path of Tantra, we get to a frequency which is fine and high enough that we get visited by beings that are great masters and that are no longer in a physical body, and they can impart us advanced teachings of all sorts, you know, which is also sometimes what I'm fortunate enough to be able to experience. And so people have no clue about these things, you know, but these things are wonderful, you know, and these things are also the offerings of the tantric path, particularly skydancing Tantra.
Well, I would like to, just out of curiosity, what kind of great being might one of these visitors look like? You know, we're diverging a little bit, and we'll back in a moment. But
well, you know, anybody you can have, if you're perceptive enough and you tune in and you love Jesus Christ, or you love Mary Magdalene, or you love Mary, and you meditate and pray to them, and you get in a really high vibration, by all likelihood, you know, especially if you get a transmission by some initiate, you know, that can help you in your process, or some master teacher, by all likelihood, they would probably appear to you, or they would talk to you, or they would help you, or they would guide you, you know. And if you're on the path of skydancing Tantra and your lineage is connected to Buddha Padmasambhava and Yeshe Tsogwel, most likely Buddha Padmasambhava will appear, you know, and he's appeared to me and he's guided me. And, you know, it's just an endless process. It's very exciting. I mean, it's very exciting what happens in the world of the beyond, you know.
That is very exciting, actually.
And a good orgasm opens the door to that. Oh. Because a good orgasm is a glimpse of the divine. Because in orgasm, we are not so far from the ecstasy of meditation. Because we are beyond the ego. We're beyond time and space. And we're in a space where there is no ego-centered meanness that separates things and people from each other, you know? So the state of bliss that is experienced in a good moment of merging and of sexual opening with your partner is very close to the state of bliss that is the mystical state, you know? As a state in itself, it's not so different. The difference being that orgasms are states, and that states are not the final awakening. The final awakening is penetrating the very nature of consciousness, which is something that is eternal, doesn't change. You know, it's not something that begins and ends. And even the many enlightenments that we can experience in many cases begin and end, you know, because as Osho, one of my teachers, said, enlightenment begins. It's a process. It begins, but it never ends.
So one more quick question before we go on to your DVD, but hasn't Tantra always kind of had a bad rap? Maybe they haven't changed as much as we might have hoped, especially with someone like you. I mean, really one of the first real female figureheads to come out. I'm a little disappointed to hear that you don't think they've changed maybe as much as they might have, but...
Well, yeah, there has been a lot of changes. Let's not be too harsh here. You know, there's been a lot more joy and freedom and opening happening in the realms of sexuality and a lot of heartfulness. That's true. But yeah, well, Tantra was always the path of the shortcut for the courageous. And it also was the path of, and is the path of crazy wisdom. And in Bhutan, one of the most revered teachers on this path is Drukpa Khunle. There's a book written on him called The Divine Madman. And he enlightened people through doing very shocking things that were often related to sexuality. So, you know, there's a bunch of rascals out there in the path of Tantra, but their rascalness is actually used to wake people up and to give them a Zen stick so that they're not going to fall asleep on themselves.
Okay, well, we'll all have to go get that book, huh? Yeah, yeah. Or your book for the slightly tamer path. Actually, your path sounds like more fun. Fabulous orgasms and visitations with the divine. And so actually, speaking of books, I want to ask you about your DVD, because my understanding is you want to change the perception people have of what is possible through yet a new vision of Tantra. Clearly, you made a huge mark on the world with The Art of Sexual Ecstasy and everything that followed from that. And now you're coming out with this DVD series. It's 4 hours long. Would you tell us some information about that?
Yeah, well, this DVD is extraordinary. I'm very proud of it. And it just was the result of several things. First, me working with Deepak Chopra on a project called MyPotential.com that was managed by his daughter, Malika. And they chose a number of teachers, and I was among them, and the Dalai Lama was among them. And they wanted to do video casting and, you know, people sort of getting on a network. And it didn't really work, so we did a film together for that purpose, and then they gifted me the film. Then I put it on the shelf. I had 80 hours of film of my various interviews. And then in meditation, a voice came and told me I had to do this film, and I resisted and I resisted. And then the voice insisted and gave me clues and cues and keys. And finally, I surrendered. And the voice guided me to do this film, which is 4 hours. And it's 3 DVDs in a box. And each DVD has 4 modules that are 20 minutes each. And basically, it's the most wonderful visual way of bringing the entire love and ecstasy training to people, because it's interactive. So you can take the film, you can play it in the privacy of your own bedroom. And you can, if you're on a new date, you can educate your friend, you know, say, okay, look, this is how we can breathe. This is how we can practice. This is how an orgasm happens. These are the muscles that we use. And then you only have 20 minutes to look, and then you can go to the practice menu. You have 5 minutes recap on what the whole thing was, and then off you go. You can do your own practice, you know. And so that's what the film is all about. It's a progression of 3 DVDs, 1.5 hours each. There's beautiful digital art. There's beautiful tantric paintings and tantric art. There's me teaching all over the world. Some shots are in the Khajuraho tantric temples of India. There's Deepak on the film. There's Tony Robbins on the film. It's a most beautiful film. I'm very proud of it.
I understand that you wrote this yourself. You directed it. You designed it. You did the art. I mean, this is not just, you know, Margot Anand's film. This is your creation through and through.
Yeah, it's actually my legacy. And it was a very expensive production. And I hired a team of 6 people and a project director. And I supervised everything. And I edited things 15 times. And I chose the letters and I chose the graphic art. And, you know, talking about Tantra, it was a very tantric thing. Because for me, Tantra, you know, and orgasm and sex and love leads us to the root of our creativity. And if we are not doing something creative, we're not alive, you know. So I entered this ultimately unknown path, because I'd never produced a film and I've never done a film before. And here I was, you know, creating an entire production line and making decisions about something I didn't know, but that I would have to pay for. Okay. So that was the Zen koan. I have to decide on things I've never done before, and I have to pay the bills, you know. So I did this beautiful film, and that has incredible music in it. And I'm very grateful for the participation of, you know, there have been maybe 60 people who participated in this production. And there's also testimonials from all my students spontaneously given. You know, so, and there's parts of workshops that you can see in there. And the 3rd DVD is all about sex, you know, how to become multi-orgasmic, men and women talk, students, people who practice sky dancing. And then there's all the different positions of love and what they do and why you would like them and not like them. So it's a pretty complete approach. So now you don't have to read a 450-page book. You can just, you know, snuggle up and watch this movie. It's much more fun.
Well, right. Or if you have to wait a year before you take the Love and Ecstasy training, you can get this first, or you can give it as a gift to your partner if, you know, you just met them and you want to drop a few hints.
It's a great honeymoon gift. My friends are buying it a lot for honeymoons, you know, when their children get married.
There you go. So we're going to take another break to support our sponsors. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Margot Anand, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm Dr. Patty, and we're talking to Margot Anand about a life of personal tantric freedom. Before the break, we were talking about people's projections around Tantra and their false ideas. I want to ask you, Margot, now about what it's like to be an awakened Tantra queen who wants to move beyond that. That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it, to be so awake and then to be aware of like all the trappings and stuff. So what's that like?
Well, you know, the process of awakening means dropping the extra luggage. And as you progress on this path, it's not always easy because, you know, you confront the things you love the most and you have to let them go and you have to be reminded of impermanence, the natty process of the mystics, not this, not that, you know. So you arrive at a certain place that you desired. Like, for instance, in my case, I met one of my most influential teachers, Osho, when I was quite young, and I had signed a contract for my second book, actually, with a major French publisher. I switched to English later. And so he went on and on telling me about how, you know, in the end, I would not be impressed by success and the glitz and glitter of the world wouldn't mean much to me. And, you know, the ecstatic states and the awakened states was really going to be what was going to draw me. And at that time, which was 25 years ago, I listened to him sitting at his feet in India and I thought, ah, baloney. I'm going to be an exception and I'm going to be the one that is going to be successful and in the world and enlightened, right? And so then I had to go through this long and circumvoluted path of, you know, fulfilling my sacred contract with existence by teaching and teaching and teaching and being obsessed about teaching and more teaching everywhere. And in the end, I remember how many times, you know, I'd written a book and gotten paid a huge advance. And I would turn around when this thing was done and I would not feel like I was any happier or I was any more enlightened or I was just basically feeling very tired. And I didn't feel that my spiritual dimension had moved one iota, you know. So I would say that freedom, you know, is becoming once again my ultimate value. And freedom means that I have to find the core of myself and I have to find the joy of being myself, whether I'm in relationship or not in relationship, whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich, whether I'm in America or whether I'm in France, whether I'm pushing paper or whether I'm reading a book or whether I'm making love or whether I'm not making love. There is a core state of consciousness, not even a state. There's a core essence of our being, of our Buddha self, which does not get affected by any of the things that are happening on the periphery. And that is the true awakening. And that is what is the mindfulness and the important part that we want to touch, you know. That's what we touch and we look for and we embody when we get to be 60 years and beyond, you know. Because the trappings lose their importance, you know.
So you are making a change, actually. You are handing over the day-to-day ship, the navigation of the ship to
other 35 people
that you've trained, which I'm imagining must be a little difficult since who knows your material better than you.
No, actually, you know, I've done it to 200 people in Europe.
Okay. So we're going to take another break to support our sponsors. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Margot Anand, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm with Margot Anand. We're talking about what it's like to be an awakened Tantra queen who wants to move beyond that.
Well, it's a little tiresome to be always labeled the Tantra queen. It was an expression that was coined by my publishers for publicity purposes and to put on the back of the jackets of my books. And, you know, can you still be a Tantra queen at 63? You know, I wonder. I think that to move beyond for me means simply letting go of, you know, old attachments and old habits. Like, for instance, right now I'm completely clearing the clutter out of my life and I've gotten rid of an office and 3 storage units and U-Haul trucks full of stuff and 60 boxes of file folders, and I'm getting ready to go on a sabbatical for a year. And I'm starting by working 50% less this year, and next year I hope not at all. And that is just going to create space for the new and the unexpected. That's what I'm hoping. You know, it's not like I'm retiring, but I want to do other things. And so I'm a painter and I'm a filmmaker, and I love to be creative, but I don't love to repeat myself. So I pass my work on to other people and they're doing very well with it. And so I'm going to teach a little bit less. And right now, moving beyond the Tantra queen means moving beyond Tantra as a search for the perfect orgasm. And it's moving into Tantra as a path to enlightenment and awakening.
So how does it feel in your body? The outer world is changing. What are you noticing in the inner Margot as a result? Does it feel different?
Well, there's been a lot of letting go. And strangely enough, it also has felt very, very good in my body. The ability to let go has been greater than before. So the capacity to reach orgasmic peaks or orgasmic depth is happening faster than before, to my great surprise, because in the case of many women that I work with, they were complaining that after a certain age, you know, it takes longer. But I think that all the multi-orgasmic response session and all the love and ecstasy training, opening your inner channel sessions, have helped in eliciting more openness. And as a result, the body is more relaxed. And as a result, you know, the responses are more easily accessible. So I could say that that's what the case is.
By the way, I've seen your paintings on your website, which is www.margotanand.com. And they are truly astonishing. So I can understand why you would want to paint. They're amazing.
Yeah, I painted a yoni tree or a tree of life, which had a story that was amazing because I went to Cambodia and I visited the temples of Angkor Wat, and I visited one of the great temples of the kings where the stones were falling apart and this huge tree was growing over the stones of the temple, and it was so big that nobody could cut it down or do anything with it. And so I photographed it, and it was so big that I had to take 2 photos, one of the roots and the gate to the temple with the tree all around it, and one of the top of the tree. And it was a tree in erection. It was the symbol of the great, proud, masculine member in erection. And then I cut out on the computer, I cut out the entrance to the temple, and I stuck a yoni in that entrance. And then I printed it very light, and then I painted over it, and this became my tree of life. And that's one of the paintings that I sell.
Oh, I think that's on your website.
Probably is. Yeah, probably.
It's very beautiful. Well, speaking of art, we're running out of time, but we just have time for one more question. So let's make it a really good one. Is there something from your DVD that is just really wonderful, fun thing that you love to replay over and over in your mind?
Yes, I actually replayed every time that I gave a talk about my film because they're my favorite shots. The first part of the introduction is very explanatory and interesting, and it's got Deepak Chopra and Tony Robbins telling how this work of skydancing Tantra can be helpful. And then there is a part in there about filming at the Khajuraho temples in India. So probably the only tantric film of today where the teacher is in front of the temples in real location, you know, showing all the statues of the people making love. And then I love the part on the sensory awakening ritual where he drops hot chocolate sauce on her breast and he licks it off her. The camera work is great. And then I love the multi-orgasmic full body orgasm response segment in which he gives her an orgasm manually and then moves the energy through her chakras and arrives at the third eye and the crown. And this light emerges out of her. And then I say, this is talking to God. And I love that part. It's very sexy. And that part where the man says how it is to be multi-orgasmic and how he gets to love his partner a lot more deeply when she gives him multi-orgasmic sessions. And how she's a goddess to him. And then I love the part about the dance of seduction, where you see how the woman becomes a goddess and all surrounded by veils and comes into the living room and undoes her veils and learns to fully be with herself and love herself and reveal her own inner beauty to him. That's very beautiful. It's like she's the epitome of the divine feminine. And finally, I love the eye gazing meditation. It's a beautiful one where you drop into a tunnel through the eyes of your partner and you become a Buddha and you dissolve into the universe.
Well, I think we're going to leave our listeners on that note. You can get that at www.margotanand.com. Also, you can find out about the Love and Ecstasy trainings at ecstaticliving.com. Thank you, Margot Anand, so much for giving us your cutting-edge wisdom and energy, as always. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we're very glad you've joined us today. And
what's your next show?
Our next show is we're going to visit with Dr. Gary Schubach and talk about female ejaculation.
Woo-hoo!
So onward and upward, or outward, or whatever direction it goes, I guess. So until then, I thank all our listeners for being with us. You can always write me at www.personallifemedia. We'll visit you there, and write me at patty@personallifemedia.com. So I remain yours in ever-expanded love. Till next I see you. Bye for now.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.